Let's open our Bibles. We're going to get into John 15 tonight. And the last words, praise God, that we heard in chapter 14, Jesus said, "Arise, let us go hence." And what he was calling them to at that time was, let's get going. Praise God, it's about to be finished. Isn't that wonderful, the joy that was set before him? Even at that time of, this was Judas that just broke his heart and all the things that were going on, all the disciples and their squirreliness and unbelief around him. And yet, oh, the Father's being glorified right now. It's done. We're ready to go. This is it. Didn't look at the circumstance, obviously, just on the will and all the perfect and complete will of God. It was coming forth. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And God help us all to have that unction of love in spirit in living our lives. I'm encouraged of that all the time because, brothers and sisters, we have the message to rule and to reign jointly together with Jesus Christ, to be glorified together with him, to magnify him in the greatest honor, glory that there could ever be, because of the vessel that received nothing but the grace of God to become his glory. But the requirement of that is we must be willing to jointly suffer together with Christ. And I'm learning that in new heights with you. How's that? And new depths and breadths and lengths and every other dimension. But see, that's, you can say, well, that's suffering, sure, but it's love. See, love abides. Love's faithful. Love doesn't just love in good times. It loves even more intensely by the grace of God in hard times. And I'm thankful, so thankful, that it is only his love. It's not my love. He gives it to me, praise God, and he grows it. But I know that, as we're going to read tonight, it's all of, from, do, and to him. Praise the Lord. That's why it's so wonderful to praise Jesus. Amen. So, we're so thankful because he says, arise, let us go. Because this is a foreshadow of his victorious resurrection that is soon going to be. You know, he's saying, arise, yeah, let's physically get up out of here and let's go on. But he's really speaking of, in a great symbolic matter, I'm going to rise. I'm going to be put in that tomb, and I'm going to rise again. And I'm going to rise to the right hand of the Father, and praise be to God. Again, this is the journey through John right to the upper room, right to the time of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So this is all of this excitement that soon the victory over sin and death is going to be finished. And we will finish, and I should say he will finish it, all in just a matter of days upon that wondrous cross. And that is why it is so wonderful and so appropriately said how we begin in chapter 15, I am. Isn't that something? So see, he says, arise, let us go, and now praise God. And he said this before, but this is so, the impact of this, I am. Because he knows, praise God, it's done. Arise and let us go. And how wonderfully comforting that is, that my Savior is I am. And I am that I am. The one who spoke to Moses, the same one who spoke the worlds and the heavens into existence, the same one who came as the helpless babe. I am that I am. Hallelujah. So we're grateful to God. So let's go ahead and read the first 8 verses together. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. That's some good stuff. So here we have this wonderful picture of a vine. We have a picture of the vine, we have a picture of the branches, and we have a picture, praise God, of the caretaker. And I've spoken it many times. I've loved seeing the vineyards as we've traveled, whether in California, Oregon, some in Europe, and the fascinating testimony that's in the nature, just in the natural testimony that's in those vines, and how it magnifies the I am, hallelujah, and us branches. I always was reminded, especially when we went to Oregon, really taking some time to learn about the history and about vines and how they do that. And they send these vines. I mean, you know, the vine stalk, not branches, but the actual vine. They'll send those and ship them. And they're crazy expensive and so valuable. And they look like it looks like it's a dead piece of wood, you know. And you plant that thing, and the husbandman grooms that and does all the things to it. And then, by golly, all them branches begin to come out of it. And then how they graft the branches in as well, too. I mean, just the testimony in nature and in nature. Because who made nature? Amen. And it just is so wonderful how it is all revealed there. We could have a whole bunch of sermons on that we'd never exhaust, just in a little vine, a little cell, or whatever it would be. But we see the picture here, and the picture is that he is the all-supplying. He does everything. He supplies every need. And we know that as the Lord has come to tell us so sweetly, it's my grace. My grace is the all-sufficiency. Always, and you always have it in full supply, always, in all things, thanking God that it is the source that causes us to superabound to every good work. And we are grateful that he does this for us. And how wonderful, again, is the faithfulness of God. But in this supplying, us branches can only do one thing as well, and that's receive of the vine. We receive all life, all increase, all ability that we ever have, and especially is what this is getting at for fruit. It's all and only from the vine. So everything we know is all and only from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, one thing which is really sweet to remember about our precious Savior, which is so beyond, he took the form of one of us branches too. In Zechariah 3:8, God says, I will send forth my servant, the branch. He became one of us, didn't he? He was made, hallelujah, one of us. And how precious this is, as he showed that he would be completely dependent upon the Father. Us branches, praise God, are completely dependent upon him for life. See, without the vine, the branches die. I love, again, as it says there, if you turn over to Ephesians 2:10, and I know most or many know this by heart, in Ephesians 2:10 it says, for we are his workmanship, and thank Jesus, created in Christ Jesus. See, we're in that vine. Hallelujah. And what? Unto good works. See, that's the fruit, those excellent things, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's important of what we'll get to in a minute. You can see the choice there of yielding to God. And we thank the Lord that we have that encouragement of the Spirit to yield to God. But next we see in this verse, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. That means my Father is the caretaker of it. And what the Father's caretaking is his complete will. It's the Father's will. And the Father's will over the Son, in a sense, in the plan and the purpose, the provision and the power. The complete attention of the Father to the vine. The Father is doing everything, preparing everything, only to magnify the plan, the purpose, the provision, and the power of the vine. Amen. And that's what it's all about. And that's what's so beautiful. And it's seen how? In us? By the evidence of the fruit. and you think about the fruit by the grace of God that the Lord is bringing through saints in this meeting. We're talking about the Paul's gospel fruit. Praise the Lord. There's so much wondrous fruit, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about in the abundance of that Spirit. We're talking about bridal fruit. We'll get to that in a minute, and you know we'll head over to Song of Solomon to talk about that. But see, it's all seen in the fruit. And praise be to God, because it's all about the vine. It's all about Jesus and his fruit in us. See, all of that supplying, all of that nurturing, everything that we will ever be able to manifest is because of him. And it is him, and we thank God. The Father is seeking those. What does it say in the Word of God? That are he's seeking those, the true worshipers, amen, that worship him in spirit and in truth. And we praise God for this, and we'll get to how he does this in just a moment. But notice here too what it says. It says, I am the true vine. The meaning here about this true vine is he is the perfect vine, he is the enduring vine, and anything else is counterfeit. And we're in that day where, oh, well, anything goes. You know, there's many ways. There's many thoughts. It says in the end times that there'll be many coming in my name. Pretty, you know, you go to, I've been to some of these different classes at times. And, man, I'll tell you what, I got myself out of many of them where they'd start to say, yeah, my, you know, the light in me and the light in you. And we're all, and it's like, whoa, this is not, you know, I came here in the devil's workshop, got to get out of this place. But that's not, believe it or not, that's not a rare thing anymore. That's what's going down. That's what, you know, people, even Christians have been caught up into this stuff. And they're just, and it is, it's just spiritual wickedness in high places, taking the word of God, because that's what the devil did. And that's what the devil still does, is he takes bits and pieces of the word of God, and he twists it, turns it, and tries to just trick people and say, well, it could say this, it could say, no, it doesn't. It says this. It has one message, and that message is what this message is. It's all about Jesus. So we thank God for this. And then verse 2. It's so important for really understanding this section. As you get into this, specifically in verse 2, there's two words that really are everything. In me. In me. Isn't that precious? Isn't that simple? The simplicity of the gospel of Christ? I'll tell you what, there's two words that give it to you exactly as it is. In me. It's not in anything else. Everything that we have, anything that can transpire in us for any good is always in Christ. And I thank Jesus for that magnificent revelation of the heights of in me, and that is, praise God, of his glory in us. But the only way, praise God, I should say, not only is this the way to the upper room, we know that when I say the upper room, we're getting into Acts here pretty quickly, because John's going to begin to introduce us even more so about the reason Christ is going to ascend to the right hand of God. He's going to ascend to the right hand of God because he's going to send the Comforter. He's going to send the Spirit of Truth. He's going to send that one that will guide you and lead you and take all the things of mine and reveal and show them unto you. And we know that, and it's so wonderful. But I'm telling you what's so magnificent about understanding Paul's gospel, not only is this the way to the upper room, but we're getting into the way to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, that's what Paul's gospel does, that nothing else will do. It unlocks everything in the Word of God. A lot of people say, well, my goodness, I'm beginning to see the Old Testament, and I'm beginning to see these. You want to see the four Gospels? No, Paul's Gospel. Amen? Just think about our journey in John. It's not because of man. It's because of what the grace of God has revealed to us. But you see bridal truth all the way through this. Do you think those disciples that were with him all along for this time really saw that this was bridal truth? No, they didn't. They were having a hard time believing he was Lord. But the point is that praise God for this time we're in, is that we have this magnificence of the whole counsel of God that causes the Word of God in every verse, every line to become this living color, hallelujah, that you're seeing, praise God, the depths, yea, the deep things of the Spirit. And again, it is by His Spirit. So we thank Jesus for this revelation. We thank Him that Paul's gospel does this. And specifically what I'm talking about here is the two words, in me. Because those that would know of the wonderful heights that are in the book of Ephesians, what is all that about? What does it tell us? It's us, where? In Christ. Everything is in Christ. Everything is in me. So here is the preparation, praise God. It's the beginning of that testimony. It's just like this is the beginning of the testimony to the upper room. This is the beginning of the testimony, praise God, to the high calling. You talk about an upper room. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we thank the Lord for that. And it goes on to tell us in Colossians 1:27, praise God, that it's Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that something? So this is where we're going with this, and how wonderful this is. But as we begin, let's let the Bible, amen, isn't that a good thing to do? Let the Word of God define for us what this mean, this in me means. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5. And this way, what I'm talking about is, again, the enemy just wants to distort the truth. Enemy wants to have us read a passage and think, oh my goodness, we could lose our salvation. Enemy wants us to read a passage of Scripture and say, oh, see there, I don't need to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, things of those kinds of things that we need to be able to rightfully divide the Word of God. And that's what the Spirit does, but we need to study the Scriptures, obviously. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be where? In Christ, or in me, he is what? A new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I'm thankful to be able to write this, is that now are we the sons of God. A little note here is that we're not just a non-sinning line in that new man. We're a line that cannot sin. We are the new line because we have Christ liveth in me. Isn't that, that's just it. It's so beautiful, that wonderful grace that just grounds us. So we thank the Lord again for this revelation. As well, besides this verse, all through John, we've been hearing Jesus speak of I and you and me. And that is why now, this portion of Scripture here, remember this was a ministry to basically to the sinner, to all of these different things. Now this ministry is completely to the disciples. That's why everything, when I say the disciples, he's speaking to and of believers. And that's what's so important to understand this when he says, in me. So now let's go ahead and read verse 2 of John 15 one more time. And I think it'll be very apparent where the Lord's going with this. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. But let's hit that first half. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So he takes away the branches that are in me that do not bear fruit. So what was the key that we just read again? They're in me. So what would these be? They would be Christians. These are believers. We understand that. But legalists love to jump on this and say, oh, see, he's going to take you away. He's just going to take you right out of there. Nope, we're going to rightfully divide the truth. And first off, this translation here, where it says not bearing fruit, it actually is better stated that this branch once bore fruit, and is not bearing fruit any longer. I think I said that incorrectly, so let me try that again. It's not that he it doesn't bear fruit. It means that it's not bearing fruit. So we have this wonderful truth that it has been bearing fruit, but something's going on. Again, just like the Galatians, he said, you know, you ran well. Who hath bewitched you, huh? Did he come in there and say, well, wait a second, there's not a lot of fruit here, so I'm just going to cast you out? Well, he will in no wise cast you out. We know that he, even in our unbelief, what? He abideth faithful. So we understand that assurance. But let's even get more assurance. Let's go on over to 2 Peter chapter 1. and 5 through 8. And the Lord just be magnified. Amen. And in 2 Peter 5 through 8, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So you see there that if those things be in you and abound, you won't be barren in bearing fruit. Amen? So we see that that's very, very, very clear. That it didn't mean that, well, you don't bear fruit, you're out of here. It's that we passed by that opportunity, didn't we? And we're going to see that that opportunity comes from one thing, fellowship. Amen? That is, see, our standing is secure, but it's our state. Where is our fellowship? Where are our thoughts? Where are my affections? Where is my praise? Where is my gaze? All of those different things. What's happening in my spiritual condition? You go over to Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Let's see here. Is that right? No, 3:14, excuse me. It says, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." See, we want to be fruitful. We want the Lord to pour forth, praise God, and be magnified in us. And you think of what magnificent fruit through the power of the Holy Ghost, the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Now that's fruit, amen? That's powerful fruit. That's abundance of fruit. So that's rightfully divided here. And notice as we go back to John, who is it that takes the branch away? Kind of interesting here, isn't it? The Father. The Father is the one that takes. It's the Father that takes the branch away. So what is so beautiful here, because the Father takes the branch away, there's no judgment. People, when I've said that to them, as I said, well, wait a second, you know, the Father, he's the great judge. Let's read what the Word of God says. Let's go over to John 5:22, if we remember really who all judging is given to. Huh? It says in John 5:22, "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Go on and read about Revelation 20. Who's throwing it down there at the white throne? And I'm so thankful to God I'm on the Lord's side. Amen? And that's good stuff. But a better translation again, and you know, brothers and sisters, lots of people say, well, you know, why didn't the, you know, in a sense, the translation of the word be so perfectly, you know, exact, clear, and all that? Well, don't you think maybe to study to show yourself approved? Do you know what I'm saying? Now, there's enough here because this is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And that's why I love, obviously, and we love the King James Version. God divinely gave this. When we have that full heart, as was given to that king at that time, to have those to assemble the Word of God. I'm thankful. I look at other translations sometimes just for different verses. But most of the time in translation, when I'm really looking something up, I'll look up that word and be encouraged. Go look it up in the Greek or the Hebrew or whatever it might be and kind of see it in context that way. But I would encourage ones, and as I always do, your first source better be this King James. We did that study on those other Bibles, and like I said, whether it's the NIV, whether it's the New King James and some others, there's, I believe, 66,000 words missing. I don't want one word missing. I don't know about you. I don't want no verses missing. I don't want anything. You know, I want the whole Word of God. Well, how do you know it's the whole Word of God? Because He's God. Because He's God. You know, people say, well, what about the lost book of that and this? And I said, well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I know my God supplies all my need according to the riches of His glory in Jesus Christ. Praise God. So, you know what? I know I got it all That's what faith is. And I know he's not going to shortchange me, because he said, I am faithful and true. And we thank the Lord for that. And it's not because of me, but it's because who he is. It's because of that vine. But a better translation, as we get to this verse, praise God, about every branch in me that, you know, basically beareth fruit no longer, he taketh away. Well, that word taketh away really could be translated lifteth up. Isn't that something? That really gives you a whole different meaning of this. It's like, well, gosh, he was going to take you away. Actually, he's going to lift you up. He will in no wise cast you out. Amen? And that he abides faithful. That's that faithful father. He is always encouraging to his sons. I'm going to just ask you, parents, what would your kid have to do before you don't help him anymore? I know they can put us through a lot of things. By the grace of God, you love them. Amen? How much more the Father? So we thank the Lord that that love is always, always there. And you want that love someday to spark to say, you know what, I want to please my parents. I want to please my Father. And that's what love is. And thanks be to God for that. So we see here that it's really lift us up. So he's there to assist us even when we don't yield. He still cares, and by his grace he causes us to stand. But then how glorious in the second part of this verse, we can yield. We can yield. We can choose that by his grace. We can choose to just praise him. We can choose to just thank him. You know, a lot of people think this yielding thing is like a real effort. It's something I really gotta, you know, I gotta just, you know, work this thing up and I'm gonna be a yielder. And that's not gonna do it. It's just being a branch. It's just being that branch that's in him and letting him do it all. And just thank the vine always for the supplying. And you think about with vines and things of that nature. We were, recently out in different parts of the country and all. And the harvest was over. And they just look like little dead wood fence posts. And the branches are just hanging there. And are they dead? You know, I don't see a bud. I don't see nothing. And it's all there in that vine. And you know what? It's coming. It's coming in due time. And it doesn't look good right now. It looks dead, looks barren, looks like, you know, let's just go ahead and tow and row and just get all that up and, you know, burn it. You know, nope, it's all there. Give it time. Amen? And that's what God is encouraging us, is just to wait on him. But as we do yield and be fruitful, and by the way, the word fruit in this section is mentioned 8 times. That's another wonderful encouragement, the bridal number. And isn't that wonderful, the bridal encouragement to us, brothers and sisters, the fruit that's produced in him. So again, it's all because of his grace. And is it any wonder when we're talking about this fruit too, talking about the Song of Solomon, when it's wrapped up at the end, let's just go there real quick. We have a couple minutes. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 7, when she gets it, she gets it. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. I mean, we're at that part of the scripture, you know. But listen to what she says here in verse 7, 6 through 9. And this is what he is saying, the bridegroom is saying of the bride. So again, chapter 7, 6 through 9. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breasts to clusters of grapes. Isn't that something? Just clusters. Just so much fruit is in her. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be the clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples. You talk about fruit, man. This thing is just crazy, huh? What a vineyard he has gotten her. And now the roof of thy mouth like the best wine. And you know how wine is produced, don't you? Yeah, it's got to be crushed. and how that comes forth. For my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. And my goodness, now you're really getting into something there. But that's how fruitful she can be, praise God, to him. And again, this bridal company, think of how fruitful that bridal company is going to be with to him. Matter of fact, they're going to rule and to reign jointly together with him. He will not take the throne as God till he has her with him to rule and to reign jointly together with him. So that's your calling. That's my calling. That's this wonderful, ravished heart that he gives us. So it's very clear. What does he want? He wants fruit. But he not only wants fruit, he wants more fruit. And again, I mentioned being up there in Minnesota here recently, those apple trees. I was in that orchard, and it was a very small orchard. I'm telling you, it wasn't very much acreage. And those trees weren't very tall. You know, you kind of drove by, and you go, man, you know, and they had the, like this nice apple store. All they did was sell apple. It wasn't, you know, electronics. They were fruit. And it was open all year long. And I'm thinking, how can that thing be open all year long? I went over and asked him, and I think, like I told you, I think there was only like 30-some acres of apple trees. And, you know, you think of 30-some acres is a good size, but, you know, they're selling apples all over the place, and then they're having these apples. I mean, there's cars all over the place getting apples at this place. And they make every kind of apple. They have every kind of tree up there growing, from the Golden Delicious to the all of those wonderful apples that we like so much. But the thing that impressed me so much is even this, though this was a small orchard and these trees were so small, when I got out of that car and I went over to those trees, I'd never seen anything like that. They on those branches, they had apples. Polly will tell you this. In just one little branch, I mean, those trees weren't much taller than I could reach. And you know, kind of a circumference, maybe down here to the desk and all. But those limbs had big apples on them, and I'm telling you, hundreds of apples, hundreds, like clusters of grapes. We took pictures of it, just coming off of that thing. It was like, how are those apples hanging on apples? How those, and then we went up a few weeks later, all those apples were picked, and there were those little barren trees. Didn't look like anything, but I saw the fruit that came off of those things. You ever feel like you don't look like anything? You don't look like much? That's just the vessel that he can bring the clusters off of. And praise God. Doesn't that just encourage your heart that, you know, Lord, you must increase. You know, I want to decrease, but there's only one way that's going to happen first, is he's got to increase. I'm just going to praise you. I'm going to magnify you. And as I've been testifying in this trial, God has brought me to that glory in a way I've never seen. Just to praise him. Because I don't have strength for anything else. I really don't. Just to praise him. And he's decreasing me. This trial's been the greatest thing for weight loss in my body. True. Amen. I wouldn't recommend it. All right. And he gets more, praise God, how? Through purging. He purgeth it. Which means, you know, many things, but specifically it means to cleanse. Isn't that something? You know, we always think that purging is cutting back. It does in that regard. But its foremost meaning is to cleanse. But that really shouldn't be surprising, because what again does the Father want to magnify? The only thing the Father is going to magnify is the vine. And who's the vine? The Word. And what did the Word say about our washing of our feet? All the time. Amen? Every day. Because why? Because we walk through a dirty world. And I know I'm washed head to toe. I know I have that cleansing. Hallelujah, the blood of Jesus. But I need to be cleansed in the Word continually. And thanks be to God that he shows us that in his great mercy, because of this vessel of weakened flesh. When we're honest with ourselves, we know we need the Word of God. It's the only sustaining power. It's the only supplying. Amen? So we're back right to the vine. And often the way the Word works is through that pruning, again, cutting us back. And again, it's because the Father wants the fruit to increase, which all fruit comes from the vine. And praise God, it's so good because it's more about Jesus. And once again, the Father is the tiller. And what is the Father again all about is His perfect will for us to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the increase that He wants. Again, He desires and He's seeking and He's searching for His Son, praise God, the true worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. That is His bride. And by golly, you get to verse 3 and look what it said there. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So there's your evidence of it as well. Let's get a moving. Verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Very direct, isn't it? So here we have more in me. But now with more. What's the more of in me? It's abide in me. And praise God, we are in the time of the much the more. I think that's a double portion of in me. Here he's getting to fellowship. What that mean? That word abide means is to endure. It means to wait. It means to remain. It's such a call of the good soldier, brothers and sisters, because I'm telling you something, it's a war out there. Have you come to find that out? That we're in a war, we're in a continuing battle, it doesn't end. It's like, you know, Lord, do we get to come back to the tent? Nope. You know, we're out there, huh? Think of those mighty men. I love reading about them. You know, they were kind of bummed when there wasn't another, you know, one of them giants. Goliath got any more brothers? You know, they just were looking for, you know, big obstacles to come against. I don't know if I'm there yet, you know. I just keep praying, Lord, you just encourage my heart. But he's getting us there, isn't he? He's getting us ready. But that's the fellowship that he wants in us, is that there's a joy to fight the good fight of faith. And he'll bring it because that's the intimacy that he's looking for. And then he goes on to say, and I and you. So now where we have that encouragement in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory, I and you. So see, we're beginning to get to that message, aren't we? And see, the Paul's gospel will open this up, which he's opening it up to us. We see where this is all headed, and we see that it's headed, first of all, with the infilling of the Holy Ghost, because that will never be opened up to us without the Spirit of truth that was with these guys, but shall be in you. Because know this, there is no fruit except by Him. Let's go on over to Galatians chapter 5, and let's go to the 22nd verse, and we'll talk about that fruit. And in Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? And notice it's not fruits, it's the fruit. It's just a fruit. Hallelujah. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So, praise God. Again, it's all Him. And how this fruit comes forth in our life is just by abiding in Him. You think about how many people trying to pursue fruit in their life through their activity, through what they're going to plan, the master scheme of what I need to be. It's interesting this week of God's timing on sermons and things of that nature. Three different phone calls and folks calling in about, you know, godly thoughts that kind of went awry. Meaning, you know, they were going to, you know, lay the track down in a way, and Lord, you're going to run your train right over my track, you know. But in good godly thought, don't get me wrong. We should have godly thoughts all the time. It's okay to dream in godly things. But He brings the action. Amen? See, oftentimes we're thinking it needs to be this way, and I'm just going to make it that way because I've read it in the Word of God, and it's there, so this is what I want to have. Well, God might have a different way in it of how He's going to work it. And think about Sunday night's message, and it meant so much to my heart. Most often, God did not move those men and women out of the professions when He was really calling them, dealing with them, and all of those different things. You know, yes, He called Abraham out of an idol shop. I get that. But Paul was still making tents. Priscilla and Aquila was still making tents. He didn't say, well, you know, you're such a grand, incredible theologian now, or you love me so much, you can't make tents anymore. That would just be too below you. What are you thinking? Huh? I don't know what God has for my life. But the one thing I know is He knows. I know that He knows. And I'm telling you, it was just the grace of God that did it many times in my life. As I told you, I thought I was going to sing. Well, that was my talent. That's what you do. You should go do that. Well, that's what I did. But I know God divinely told me, man, right there in Germany, boom, son, this isn't for you. Now, He didn't tell me what was, but I knew He said this wasn't it. And I knew He said, go home. I went home. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know. I mean, I knew where I was going, but I didn't know what I'd be doing. I knew where He was taking me, but I didn't, you know, but it's kind of like where He took me to take me. I knew where He took me, but I didn't know where He was taking me. And like I said, the only thing I could think of when I was back in there is, you know what? There's my dad. And he said, honor your mother and father is unto the Lord. I remember asking my dad, I said, well, Pop, what do you think? Because he always thought, you'd be singing, son. He says, well, why don't you go back to school? Study something. Went back to school and studied something. God took me into business. Did a business for 18 years. Didn't necessarily like sometimes what I was really doing, but I knew God had me there. Felt like a snake charmer most of the time. You know, every day go out there, try not to get bit by a snake. But then there I was, you know, down in Mexico, and I've told you that. I thought it's coming back here, and honestly thought Brother Hawkins was going to be my pastor. Teaches you to come home, huh? No, I just tease him. But that's where He called me. Amen. So I learned that. Learn to just trust Him. And I'm telling you, I'm learning to trust Him in a whole different way. He's so good. He's so real. And I thank Him. Oh, do I thank Him with you. I thank Him. Praise His name. All right. Verse 5. Let's go down back to John here. Don't know where we went from John, but we went somewhere. We're back. All right. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So isn't this wonderful? See, there's fruit. There's more fruit. But now we're to the place of much fruit. So you see this increase always going on. And I thank the Lord. He encouraged me a long time ago. He's the God of increase. And He's the God of increasing at an increasing rate. But when He's the God of an increase and an increasing rate, me is going to decrease at a decreasing rate, isn't He? You see? And it is. He's going to take you out of your sweet spot. He's going to take you out of the things that you know how to, you know, hit the ball out of the park all the time. You know, I'm not a good curveball hitter, Lord. Well, I am. I am, see, I am. And He does it, and that's where He wants to put you, is where He does it, where the power of Christ rests upon us, and that is only in our precious infirmities. So we are grateful. And what a feeding here. And really, this is bridal truth, this much fruit, this is bridal truth. And as we read about this in the Song of Solomon about that Shulamite, what did it say that he did? He feeds upon her. He drinks that wine because she's the best wine. Her breasts are like clusters of grapes. Her nose smells like apples. You know, it's just like, you know, she's just the big fruit. And he loves hanging with that, you know, because that's him. See, it's his fragrance. It's the beauty of him. And again, as he said here, and this is, again, so beautiful to us, for without me you can do nothing. That's the importance of knowing, rejoicing, praising him continually for his grace. The grace of God that is with me, that he performs it all the time. Hallelujah. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me. So something's changed here, isn't it? So see, he was talking to the disciples, wasn't he? I and you is very personal. Now it's like talking about somebody else. And this is talking about somebody else. Again, listen to what the word of God is saying. Rightfully divide this truth. Spirit, do that in my heart. If a man abide not in me. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So again, it's not anymore I and you, this is but if a man. And right there is the difference, and it's a big difference, because this man or branch is what? Not where? In me. Amen. This branch is not in Christ. This branch does not abide in Christ. And what is going to happen to that branch? It is dead. It withers. They're gathered and cast into the fire. They're burned. And it's so obvious. Without us in Christ, you have no life. The man without Christ Jesus is hell assured. Romans 8, 9 is so true. Says there in Romans 8, 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. He is none of his. And that's exactly what this is saying. Now, going back here to 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Oh, that's just such a joy to my heart. And see, now we're right back to those disciples, right back to the believers. And he said, you know what? If you will, he says, if ye abide in me, and now, and my words abide in you. See, and what is the word of God? It's his will, isn't it? This is the will of God abiding in us. This isn't Jesse's plan. This is God's plan. That's this word. And that word abiding in us, that's what he wants, his will. And this word fellowshipping in us, this word causing us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And again, when it speaks of this, the word abiding, that word abiding, I love that word abiding. It means to endure. It means to remain. It's speaking here of a treasure. And what a treasure it is, brothers and sisters, when we can have the confidence because of the word of God in our lives that we ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. And I want you to think about something. If the word is reigning in your life, what are you going to be asking for? You're going to be asking for the will of God to be performed. Amen. You're going to be asking for all the perfect and complete will of God. And I thank the Lord, that's the prayer on my heart always, and you hear it every service. Lord, that all the perfect and complete will of God be in this meeting always. And does that, you know, what does that mean? What means the word? All of it, his will. And that's what we want in our lives. That's what we want in this meeting, is the complete will and the word of God. And we thank God that that's what grace does. It causes us to request the will of God in our lives. See, I'm again just testifying. I'm thankful to the Lord. I'm praying in accordance to the promises of God. And I know whatsoever I'll ask, it'll be done. And I'm believing him for these things, not because of me, but because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. And we continue to just stand in it. Now, finally, verse 8. Let's just go ahead and wrap it up here. Herein is my Father glorified. Isn't that something? Sounds like Jesus. Herein is my glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now we're back to what glorifies the Father. Much fruit. Again, this is the Christ-like life. This is all the vine, all the power of the vine running through that branch in full force with all that fruit and abundance coming forth. That glorifies, gives glory to the Father. You want to praise him, you want to honor him, you want to thank the Father, just receive of the Son. Praise him for everything. Glory in nothing but the cross. Hallelujah. Everything that is, hallelujah, it's because of his beautiful Son, his only begotten, the Lamb of God. And think about this. It talks about Jesus in John 2:28, John 14:13. He glorified the Father. Isn't that what what's happening by God's grace? We are transformed from glory to glory into his image. So it's not that I'm trying to do what would Jesus do. I'm letting him do it all in me. And doing it all in me, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be like him. And being like him is abundance of fruit. And in being like him, praise God, I'm going to give glory to my Father. What a wonder that is. And that is the evidence of anything that we are his disciples. You talk about the testimony, epistles read of men. Mark them. They've been with Jesus. Praise God. They knew that they were Christians because they loved one another. So this is what it is. And we're grateful to it. And what will happen in this fruit, brothers and sisters, is the evidence, there's a dedication. Just as Jesus Christ, he was completely given over to the will of the Father. And you talk about a prisoner of love, that he would be completely given over to the enemy for us, and that he would be made sin, who knew no sin, for us. And by the grace of God, as Paul said, I am a prisoner of Christ. That's the transformation that happens as we feast upon the word. There is a bitterness, praise God, when it gets down to the stomach. It's bitter. And because of the suffering, it says it's not joyous for the moment, but it's temporal. And it's not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in you, in me. And so by his grace, you know what? He purgeth us, doesn't he? Yes, he does. And God help us to be willing to be purged, to jointly suffer together with him, so that we will jointly rule and reign together with him and be glorified together with him. Praise God. All right. Let's stand and be dismissed.